Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. On this edition, we're going to be speaking to Hong Kong-based author Harper Bliss, and you'll hear the fabulous chat we had very shortly. But before we get to that, we're going to see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as an update about my upcoming release. Drum roll, please. If I had a drum roll, I would so use it. First up, the Amazon charts. We're going to ignore the more salacious titles and go direct for the ones with a good old-fashioned story. Kate Sweeney is currently number one in the US charts and is also top five in the UK with her new book, Cross My Heart. It involves a disappearance, a murder, and a long-lost love entering the picture. Kate has written over 15 lesbian romance novels and the Goldie Award-winning Kate Bryan mystery series. And if the reviews for this latest novel are anything to go by, it seems like it's a winner too. J.A. Armstrong's By Design is also faring really well in the UK and US charts, and it throws together an architect and a junior senator in New York City. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing power suits, gold hoop earrings, and a whole lot of New York attitude, and this is never a bad thing in my book, so it's all good. London-based Alexandra DeLauncey is still thrilling audiences with her debut novella Always Her, which has a great cover and a captivating storyline. Also doing well is Melissa Braden's second book in her Soho Loft series, Just Three Words. The US and the UK are loving a bit of this. I haven't read it yet, but I loved her first Soho Loft series book, Kiss the Girl. I think everybody I know loved that book, so I will be reading this when I get a bit of time to get around to it. Looking forward to it. And lastly, another Melissa, this time Melissa Foster, has a new book that's doing well in this side of the pond and stateside, and her book's called Discovering Delilah, and it's part of a new adult romance series that covers a gamut of sexualities, including gay, lesbian, and straight. This one is lesbian romance, I'm reliably informed. So that's this week's charts. I hope you're settling into May, and that on May Day you danced around a maypole with bells on your fingers and rings on your toes, or whatever it is. Apparently that's what you meant to do on May Day, but instead, in true lesbian fashion, my wife and I went to Wicks and B&Q'd to buy paint for our fence and wallpaper for our bathroom. However, we're both really bad at DIY, and so we didn't really manage to do any of that. We just wandered about the aisles a bit and nodded and tried to look knowledgeable, and then realised we weren't really, and so we went to the pub and had some beer. So the day wasn't a total write-off, it was all good. As for my books, well, since the last book club, I have taken part in the Indie Author Fair, which was part of the London Book Fair, which was really great fun. Got to meet tons of readers, which is always fantastic, as well as some other writers. And also I got to fulfil my dream of selling on a market stall, so it was a win-win-win for me. My third book is also coming on at pace. It's currently out with test readers to see what they think of it, and it's on its fourth edit. It's got a name now, and it has a cover, so things are really coming together. My third book will be called This London Love, and it picks up the characters and setting from London Calling, and focuses on Kate and her search for love in the big city. I'm really excited about this one, and I might even do some audio for this podcast, so you can hear the first couple of chapters before release. Yes, I spoil you, I know. And one more thing to announce before we get to the interview with the lovely Harper Bliss. I'm not sure if you know, but I am hosting the Indie Author Panel at Elfest this year, which features Karen Campbell, H.P. Munro, Suzanne Egerton and Sally Edwards. So if you're coming to Elfest, come along and see us. And if you're not coming to Elfest, what are you doing? Book a ticket. It's on July the 18th, 19th, I think. But as well as that, I'm also thrilled to announce that I will be hosting the Brighton Pride Literature Tent this year as well. So I'll be reading from my new novel, This London Love, and I will be introducing all the other fantastic authors in the lineup. So I'm really excited about both those things. So if you're coming to Elfest or you're coming to Brighton Pride, which is on August the 1st, do come along and say hi, and it will be great to see you. Exciting things afoot. Anyway, enough about me. Let's get to the interview with the lovely Harper Bliss. So hello and welcome to the 7th episode of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. Joining me today is the super prolific author Harper Bliss, who has so far released a smorgasbord of lesbian romance and erotic shorts and novellas, including the High Rise and French Kissing series. Changing things up a bit, more recently she released a first full-length novel, At the Water's Edge, which dealt with the topic of depression and was really well received around the globe. She also runs Lady Lit Publishing with her wife, which has a stable of authors all writing lesbian fiction, so I think we can safely say she's pretty bloody busy. Welcome, Harper. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, it's really, really great to have you, and you are speaking to us all the way from Hong Kong today.
Yes.
So that's very exciting to have. We're having an international flavour to this month's Lesbian Book Club. Is there anything I missed out on that intro, or was that just about cover you?
No, that's fine. That's perfect.
Yeah, cool. So describe where you are for us today, because I know you live in Lantau Island in Hong Kong. Describe the scene, because I did see today you put up a Twitter picture, and
made... Yeah, I went to the beach.
Yeah.
It made
me a bit jealous, you know. You had a meeting on the beach. Tell us more.
Well, it was just a meeting with my wife, actually, because we had to get out of the house because our Cleo was coming.
All right, okay.
So I'm starting to write a new story tomorrow, so let's just go to the beach and talk about it, which is what we like to do before I start on something new.
Oh, okay.
So, the beach is just 2 minutes away from where we live now, so it's very nice. Well, at the moment it's dark, though, because it's 7 p.m., so it gets dark quite early in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So,
right,
but it's very nice on our island. We love it here.
Yeah, but it looks idyllic. So very, very jealous. And how do those little meetings work? Do you just sort of kick back on the beach? Do you take a beer with you to discuss these things? Or?
Well, we don't always have our meetings on the beach, though. Today was a bit of a one-off.
All right.
Actually, my wife was sick today. Usually, she goes to the office. We have an office. The Lady Lit office is actually in the city.
Uh-huh.
So she goes to the office in the city, and when I'm writing, I stay home. I write here on the island.
Yeah.
So, today I had the opportunity to talk to her because she was home.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's good to talk about a story idea with another person, I find, to get a bit of a different view.
So, yeah, definitely.
She's the one for that.
Yeah, awesome. So your career as a lesbian fiction writer has seen you churn out thousands of words in a very short space. I'm very impressed with your word count. So tell me, when did it all start and how did it all start?
I wouldn't say maybe hundreds of thousands, but it hasn't been in such a short time span. I mean, I started writing professionally when we moved to Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
but we've been here now for 4.5 years already.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been at it for a while, and I only started publishing as Harper Bliss, I think it must be about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So, we moved to Hong Kong for my wife's work. She, her work transferred her here.
Okay.
I didn't have a job, so I had a lot of time on my hands, so I started writing because I've always wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the perfect opportunity for me.
Okay. And you say that you've sort of started putting out 3 years ago, so did you have quite a body of work, all set, ready to go?
Oh, no, not at all.
Right.
Because, well, you know, before we moved here, I had my own full-time job. You know, I say I always wanted to write, but I never really made time for it, as is the case with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but once I got here, you know, I really didn't have anything else to do, so that's when I started. And first, I started writing this fictional blog under the name Lee Harlan Robinson. You know, put out a novel under that, but then I decided maybe I should try some erotica, and then.
Yeah.
You know, from when I first wrote my first erotic story, I knew, oh yeah, I think this is going to be it for me, because I enjoyed doing it so much.
Yeah.
So, that was 3 years ago about, I think.
Yeah.
So,
And you, yeah, and you, I mean, I well, you might say that you haven't produced a lot, but I think you have.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's my job. So I write. It's what I do during the day. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's different for people who have a day job, but I mean, writing is my day job.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I produce words, and I mean, I of course also have my word count obsession, like maybe many writers do. But I mean, I'm absolutely obsessed with cranking up my word count. So
it really seems to be working for you, because I saw the other day you wrote 10,000 words in 1.5 days. Was that right?
Yeah. That was a new personal record.
I mean,
for me.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So, like you say, you're really well known for your erotica and your book series High Rise, about a group of lesbians who live in what you've said is the sexiest building in Hong Kong, and French Kissing, about a group of Parisian lesbians. So, tell me how you got the ideas for those two series.
Well, you know, I try to keep up a little bit with evolutions in self-publishing and publishing, and I came across more and more authors who were writing serials, and I thought, well, you know, why not try that? Because at the time I'd been writing mainly shorter works, you know, novellas and novelettes, short stories. Mm-hmm. So when you write a series, it's less daunting to start a series than to start on a novel, because mm-hmm. you get to break it up in different installments.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first one, High Rise, I really wanted to set it in Hong Kong, because I'd been living here for a few years, and I mean, it's quite a fascinating place. So, and the building that we used to live in then, I mean, I'm not saying it was the sexiest building in Hong Kong, but it was a good inspiration for, well, there were mainly a lot of gay men living there, after
okay.
lesbians.
Okay, yeah. It would have been great if you'd have said that there was this whole building of lesbians in Hong Kong.
Oh, God, I know, it would be really great, but unfortunately it's not the case. Lesbians are quite hard to find in Hong Kong, I have to say.
I agree, I've been there.
They tend to stay in, I think.
Yeah.
Gay men is not a problem, but lesbians, yeah.
Is
it a bit harder?
Are there sort of lesbian bars in Hong Kong? Because I know my wife is from there, and we've been out in Hong Kong, and they are hard to find, like you say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, well, this is what I hear. I haven't been to these. There are quite a few local karaoke bars where a lot of lesbians hang out, but I haven't been to these. But there is one party organized by two expats, actually. They're not local, and it's called Le Pêche. Mm-hmm. And they do this monthly party, which is actually quite popular, because I've been there a few times, and that's when the lesbians do come out. I mean, the last time I went there, I was like, ooh, where do all these lesbians come from? It was quite a big club, and it was full of lesbians. I said, ooh,
all right.
where have all these women been hiding? But that's the only thing, really. There's not really anything else that I know of. But there might be more local things going on.
Yeah.
But, I don't really know about that.
Okay. So you base the high-rise series on the old building you used to live in. And what about Paris? Have you lived in Paris, or were you just...
Well, I used to live in Belgium, so, and where I lived, in the city where we lived, Ghent, is like a 3-hour drive from Paris.
Okay.
So it was very close. We used to go there all the time when we lived in Belgium, because both my wife and I, we love Paris. So I spent quite a bit of time there. And, you know, I was brainstorming cities for my new series, and I thought, well, why not set it in Paris? Because, you know, I like to set it in a place when it's something like this, when I know I'm going to be writing quite a few words in that place. I like to know the place, so I said, well, let's do it in Paris. Plus, you know, Paris is very romantic and all that, so I thought that was a good setting for French Kissing.
Absolutely, no, yeah. City of Love and all that, so, and it's a great great title as well, I think. Really good title.
Yeah. So, well, I've added City of Drama now as well, because it's very dramatic.
All right, yeah. That is the essence of any great story. and how have those worked for you? Because, I mean, like you said, I know that the French Kissing series, you split them up into episodes and then put them into box sets. And and similarly with the High Rise and novellas and then box sets. So is that the way you see, how have those sort of way of doing fiction work for you, a la TV shows, putting them into box sets?
Well, I mean, for me, I do like writing that way. I mean, I'm not sure if readers are really that appreciative of the format, because, you know, for them it's either they have to wait for the next installment, which isn't always fun, yeah. And, you know, I always offer the box set at a cheaper price, but I mean, if a reader really wants to read when they buy all the separate episodes, mm-hmm. it's a bit more expensive, of course. So, you know, but well, they always have the option of buying the box set as well, which I always clearly say. But commercially, I'm not sure if French Kissing. It's not my most commercial title, for sure. I enjoy writing it a lot. Mm-hmm. I just finished season 2 recently, you know, and afterwards I said, oh, yeah, season 3. But I always find that, you know, I need to think about it a lot, if it's worth it to do it still in the, you know, if I can make enough money out of it, because a lot of effort goes into writing a season like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it's always a bit of a balancing act, but there will definitely be a season 3. I just need to figure out if it's going to be the last season or if there's going to be another one. So,
okay.
I'll have to see about that.
I'm sure your fans will be waiting, bated breath. And like you say, you've written an impressive line of erotic stories, and a lot of people find writing sex scenes tricky, but like you say, you kind of thought, no, this is for me. You've written a lot of them. Does it get easier over time, and how do you change it up?
Well, maybe the people who find writing sex scenes a bit difficult, maybe they're not erotica writers, I think, because, I mean... I mean, you do have to mix it up a bit, because there's only so many ways two women can do it, right? I know that. But I mean, it's not really about how they do it. I mean, in a longer story, it's about the characters. Like in all writing, it's always about the characters and the emotions, right? So just you make it about that instead of how they're actually doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's erotica, but it has a story, so as long as you have a story, I think you can continue to make it interesting.
Right, okay. So, and do you think there's a fine line between romance and erotica? Have you seen any sort of shifts in that in time over the last few years you've been doing it?
Well, for me, I think I started out writing much more pure erotica, but over time I've gotten way, way, way more romantic. Mm-hmm. Characters have become much more important. The story has become more important. I think it's always a process when you start something new. And I think my process has definitely been much more towards romance now, because it's much more interesting to have a romance. So, mm-hmm. I would call myself more of a romance writer these days than an erotica writer.
Okay.
Although everything I write is erotic and it's explicit. So
yeah, I mean, I write romance, but I always have very explicit sex scenes in my books, because I think that's what people expect
and
want.
It's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's frustrating when you read a book and then it gets interesting and then it stops.
I know.
I don't want it to stop. I want it to continue. But I think there are quite a few people who do want it to stop. I have noticed that there's quite a few readers out there who adamantly do not want to read erotica, but it's fine, you know, so they just read something else.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think there are plenty who do like the erotica bits though, so
I think the audience is there. Yeah, I don't think they're going away. And I've heard some romance writers talk about drinking alcohol to write sex scenes. Have you ever tried that tack?
If I were to drink alcohol every time I wrote a sex scene, I'd be quite the alcoholic.
This is very true.
I never write when I'm tipsy or drunk. I never write in the evening, for that matter, and I try not to drink before, you know, 5-6 in the evening, so that's not something that I do, no. I don't know, do you?
I don't, and I think, like you, I'm the thought of writing when I've had a drink, it doesn't, no, it's just like, no, I'm having a drink now.
Drinking is for relaxing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I have heard some people say it, and, you know, some people write at night, and some people have said to me that they like to have a drink first. I mean, I think that was something I used to do when I was in my 20s, when I thought that's what you had to do to be an impoverished artist. But
the romantic ideal of
exactly,
the,
yeah.
the writer with their bottle of wine in the evening. Yeah, no, exactly. That's never worked for me. I just want to relax in the evening.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think I drank a lot of wine and tried to take up smoking, but didn't get much writing done.
Yeah, exactly.
And as I said, you recently wrote At the Water's Edge, brought out At the Water's Edge, which was a step away from the usual. It dealt with darker subjects of depression and fractured lives. And that was your first full-length novel. So tell me about writing that and how that was different from what you had been doing.
Well, At the Water's Edge, it was definitely a very personal story for me because I've suffered from depression.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the writing process, it was very, how to say, it was very cathartic for me to write this book. And, I mean, it was definitely a step away from what I usually do. What I usually write is quite lighthearted,
mm-hmm.
you know, lots of laughs, lots of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But not that there aren't any laughs in At the Water's Edge. And, I mean, it's definitely a happy ending, but it's definitely a darker theme. So that was very interesting, but I mean, what's even more interesting is all the reactions I've gotten to this book. It's been really crazy. I mean, I've been doing this for a few years, and I've never gotten that many reactions to a book. So I think it really struck a chord with readers. A lot of people wrote to me saying, "Oh, I see so much of myself in your main character," things like that. So it was really rewarding for me to do that, to write that book, even though it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely a good decision to write that book,
and like you say, really gratifying to get all those responses, and especially, like you say, touch the chord with people.
Yeah.
And so can we expect to see how was the process of writing the full-length novel, because obviously you said that you preferred to write the shorter length at the beginning. How did you find the writing that?
Well, it was maybe a little bit more of a struggle than writing something shorter. I mean, it's like, as my wife always says, "Oh, you have such a short attention span." It's true. I mean, I like to, you know, move on quickly. When you write a novel, you commit to something that is going to take quite some time.
Yeah.
So, taking enough breaks in between, recharging, and then... But also because, I mean, this was a story that I think I really wanted to and needed to write, so I got through it quite okay. I think it took me about 2 months or something to write the first draft. So, it was definitely, in the end, an enjoyable experience. And I'd definitely be writing more full-length novels because, you know, I hear readers say, "Oh, you need to write more longer stuff." So,
so
I want to please my readers. So
yeah,
that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's good to hear. And can you describe your writing process to me? Because I know we talked about your obsession with word counts. So what's the best time? When do you write in the day, and where do you write? Do you change it up?
I have my habits. So I prefer to write in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So on a writing day, when I know I'm going to be writing the next day, I hide my phone somewhere. I put it away, very far away from me, so I stay off the internet. On a writing day, I really do try to stay off the internet. It makes such a huge difference. Also, this would be my number one advice to new writers. You want to write something and finish it, stay off the internet.
Yeah.
I know it's hard, but try it. So first thing, I start writing, and... always in my same office, in my writing office at home. I have my headphones on, I have my classical piano playlist on, and I also have a timer running, so I do 30 minute writing bursts. So
mm-hmm.
I just, you know, 30 minutes, I type as fast as I can, and that's how I get through my day. And I try to do about 7 sessions.
Okay.
Which, when you count it up, is not that much, but I mean, I don't know, emotionally and psychologically and mentally, it's quite stressing to write. So, that usually gives me about 5,000 new words per day.
That's really interesting to hear, because I haven't heard of anybody doing sort of word sprints, I suppose, aren't they? 30-minute word sprints. Did you do NaNoWriMo? Is that where you got the idea from that, or was it just something that you thought of yourself?
Where did I get this idea? I'm sure I saw it somewhere on the internet, but I'm not sure. I never done NaNoWriMo, because you know, I'm always writing, so
I guess so, yeah.
I'm going to be like taking a special month of November,
yeah.
But you know, well, so they do 50,000 words, right? And so
yeah.
I reached my first 50,000 words month in March, the last month. That was the first time I actually wrote 50,000 words in 1 month.
Okay, well, congratulations. But,
oh, thank you. I hope to do it again.
Yeah.
It was very gratifying.
Yeah. Did you do anything anything to celebrate?
No, I didn't really do it. Well, I probably went out drinking, but, you know, I usually do that every Friday. nothing special.
Nothing new. No, nothing.
just, you know. I posted it on my Facebook page. I said, oh, you know. Look at my spreadsheet, because obviously I do have spreadsheets. One must have spreadsheets.
Apparently, my wife would agree with you. She's an accountant, so I'm not very good with spreadsheets. But
well, I'm really not a numbers person. I mean, maths and all and accounting, that's really never been for me. But when it comes to word count,
mm-hmm.
I tend to get quite fanatic.
Yeah,
so and that's where the spreadsheets come in.
And with the word counts, I'm interested with your 30-minute word burst. So do you plan what you're going to write the day before, or do you just write as it comes and then edit afterwards?
Well, I mean, when I write a novel, for instance, I pretty much know what needs to be written. But I'm not that much of a plotter, though. I mean, I'm actually quite a pantser, as they say.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, before I start my 30 minutes, I think about it, but it doesn't take me long to think about it, because I'm in the story, so I know where I need to end up at the end of the 30 minutes. So,
okay.
I do a little bit of plotting, but definitely not a massive amount.
Mhm. Okay. Yeah. I think the tip to keep off the internet is a very good one, because I think it's. Yeah, most people fall prey to that, don't they?
Yeah, the internet takes up so much of your time and
yeah.
You don't even realise it.
And you produce all your work for Lady Lit Publishing, which is the small press you run with your wife. So how does that work, and do you enjoy working together?
Yeah, I do, but I mean, as I said before, we do have an office in the city, so my wife, she spends most of her time there. I go in twice a week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's been working for Lady Lit for a full year now, and in May it'll be a year.
Okay.
And it's going quite well. I mean, it's not that we never fight, you know, but I mean, a fight, you know.
Yeah.
Arguments come up, but that's only normal.
Yeah.
I think the most difficult thing about working together is that in the evening when you come home, it's pretty hard to switch off, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so easy to just continue to talk about work, but
yeah.
We can't talk about work all the time. We love what we do, and we are very lucky to be able to do this, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can't always be about lesbian fiction and drama, you know. One must take a break from the drama at times.
Yeah.
So,
and just have a relaxing night.
Yes.
Yeah. And so your wife has given up the job that she was transferred over and is just doing
yes.
that full time now.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And do you do some of the editing work as well?
For my own writing, I hire editors, but what we publish with Lady Lit,
mm-hmm.
we usually editing that's been submitted to us by other writers.
Mm-hmm.
We usually edit that amongst ourselves, my wife and I. Or sometimes, if it's too much, we hire outside. But so we do some editing as well. Yes.
Yeah. And do you enjoy that part as well? Is that a nice
no.
sort of no?
I really don't like editing, which is why we've been hiring out more and more.
All right.
It's definitely not my preferred thing to do, but you know, it needs to be done. So
yeah.
Even my own books. I mean, writing a first draft. I love that, but then I have to start editing it.
Oh, yeah.
That's not really something I enjoy very much, but, you know, it needs to be done.
Yeah, it's all in the rewrite.
Yeah. Well, oh God, I hope not, because I should do much more of it.
And I was really struck as well by your covers, because I think they're visually, you know, really arresting, great sort of single image, visually striking to the point. And I think you do your covers well. So do you do those yourself, or...?
Yeah, I've always done my covers myself. Before I moved to Hong Kong, I took some Photoshop and Illustrator courses.
Okay.
I know a little bit of what I'm doing. Plus, my wife, she's been doing a lot of covers as well lately. She used to work in graphics a lot in her previous job, so you know, she knows what she's doing as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun to be able to do that. You know, so it's not always just about the writing, but you can, you know, do something else. Like, oh, I'm going to make a cover today.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's good to mix it up a bit.
And do you think that, I get the impression that your branding is very important, and it all comes with the covers as well. So do you think branding is important for someone starting out in lesbian fiction these days?
Well, I mean, it can't hurt to have your name in a recognisable font and have the same style of cover. But I think when you're just starting out, I think what's most important is to write a really good book. But, you know, I think... branding, yeah, it can't hurt you to pay a bit of attention to that. Mm. So,
yeah,
you know, for me, when I started, I wasn't like super preoccupied with my branding, but I think it's definitely been a process, right? Like this whole thing with self-publishing, you know, you learn as you go along so much. So,
yeah, absolutely, I agree. Yeah, and what do you think of the whole explosion in lesbian fiction over the past few years, of which I guess we've both been a part?
Yeah. If it weren't for that, I bet we wouldn't be talking right now.
No,
so, I think it's amazing. It's not just lesbian fiction; it's because of like the big ebook revolution. But mm-hmm. I wish this happened 20 years ago when I was coming out. You know. It would have been so nice to have all these books at my disposal, just one click away. So,
absolutely, I agree. Yeah,
I think it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
because I mean, you know, when you're growing up to read a book with characters that you can really relate to, it can mean so much to someone. And well, back 20 years ago when I was coming out, that was not the case. It was very hard to find books like that. So I'm happy for all the readers who get to read all these books now. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree, absolutely. I think, you know, I remember going down to local, you know, lesbian and gay bookshops and going, wow. But, yeah, obviously the internet wasn't as prevalent then as well, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And when, what can we expect from the next title from you, and when will that be?
Well, last week I finished the first draft of my new novel. I've written...
Oh, cool. Excellent.
And I hope to have that out in July, I hope. Well, it depends on how quickly I edit. But I also just had a new solo mini anthology out. So, you know, when I have some short stories out, I always bundle them together in a little mini anthology.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady Lit will also be publishing a few more anthologies with stories by me. And I'll also have a story in an Ilva Publishing erotica anthology coming out in May. So,
okay.
Yeah, always something coming out.
Yeah.
One must keep busy.
One must, indeed. One yes. must. have you got a title for your new novel yet? Or?
Yes. Once in a Lifetime.
It's actually
based on a novelette that I published last year, As Years Go By.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the novelette, and I think it was about 12,000 words, and I don't know, I just kept thinking about these characters, and then my wife actually said one day, well, why don't you just write a novel, you know, like expand the story, and that's what I did. So it's an expansion of that novelette. So,
okay, cool.
And turn it into a novel.
Cool, excellent. Yeah. And you said that you produce a range of anthologies at your press. Have you got any open at the moment for people to submit stories, should they want to?
Well, we do. We're working with Cheyenne Blue, who is a pretty well-known lesbian erotica author. She's editing her second anthology for us, and I think the call for submissions actually closes on the 24th of April. So that's not a whole lot of time left. But
no.
I'll be editing an anthology soon, so I'll be posting the call for submissions soon. And I think, well, I already know it's going to be. An anthology of stories of dominance and submission. So,
okay, so
I'm quite looking forward to that.
Yeah,
because I quite like to write that sort of stuff.
Okay,
I'll be editing that one.
Yeah.
So authors must keep their eyes peeled for my upcoming call for submissions.
Okay, and you do that on your website, do you?
Yeah, I will post it on the Lady Lit website, on Facebook, everywhere. So
okay,
if
cool.
you keep a little bit of an eye, you must come across it.
Okay.
You can't miss it.
And in the press shot you use on your Facebook and Twitter, I think, you've got a pair of glasses on your head and a pair of glasses on and a pair of sunglasses on your head. Is this a standard look for you?
No. I wear glasses, but unfortunately my sunglasses don't have adjusted lenses. So, you know, when I go out into the sun, I need to keep them on my head. So, I actually wear them over my regular glasses. So
uh-huh.
I try not to do that much.
I was thinking of you. I'm the same, and I've got prescription sunglasses. But sometimes, if you get someone gives you a pair of sunglasses, you're just walking around blind. But you know, your eyes are shielded. So, and are you an avid reader of lesbian fiction as well?
Well, I'm actually a little bit embarrassed to say that I'm not, because all day, all I do is lesbian fiction. I write it, I publish it, I read the submissions, I edit the submissions, you know, in the evening. I need a break, you
completely
know.
Completely, yeah.
Because I usually read before I go to bed. When I read lesbian before I go to bed, I can't sleep, because, I mean, it sets these thought processes in motion, and I can't sleep. So for relaxation, I need to read something else. So, I mean, obviously, I read everything that we publish. So, you know, I do read lesbian, but I don't seek it out to read on a Sunday afternoon, because I want to relax.
I can understand that. So what are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I'm reading Kim Gordon's memoir, Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth, The Girl in the Band.
Yeah.
I do like a good celebrity memoir, so
yes.
I'm reading that one.
Yeah.
It's quite okay.
No, I like that as well. I read Louise Wenner's. I don't know if you were a fan of Britpop, but there's a band called Sleeper, and Louise Wenner, she was a lead singer in Sleeper, and she wrote a memoir about Britpop. Now that was very interesting, coming from the woman's perspective.
This one as well, because you know the book is called Girl in a Band, and
right.
She's the only woman in the band.
Yeah,
that's quite interesting.
Yeah, probably a similar kind of thing.
And
do you have any words or phrases you overuse in your writing or every day? Are there any that...
Oh, I'm sure I do. According to my wife, I seem to be going through a phase in which I use the words as though a lot in my writing. So everything is as though, he was doing that as though, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I'm looking out for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realize that in what I write, there are a lot of gazes locking and heads leaning dramatically against backrests and stuff like that. But I think it comes with the genre. So I try to keep an eye out on that. But, you know, that's why we have editors, right? That's
it's
what
true.
We paid them for.
It's
so,
true, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've just got my book back from some beta readers, and my friend said, "Stop describing people's coffee all the time." I was like, "Okay, I'll stop describing people's coffee."
It's just once you describe something and you like it, you tend to do it over and over again.
Clearly, and final question: if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose?
Well. Definitely Caitlin Moran. I love Caitlin Moran.
I love her, yeah.
I want to go to London or to the UK just especially to see her. She's doing a stand-up now.
Oh, is she?
Because I follow her on Twitter, and she's always like tweeting, "Oh, I'll be there then, and I'll be there then." I said, "Oh, damn, and I'm in Hong Kong." Like, she's not going to come here, because no one ever comes to Hong Kong. Culturally, it's a little bit of a wasteland here.
You should post more pictures of your beach, and then maybe they'd come, you know.
I don't know, maybe to spend 5 minutes on the beach. Plus, it's a little bit out of the way, so, you
it's
know.
True, yeah.
I think anyone who comes to Hong Kong, they don't really come to our island.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, maybe I can try out Twitter some pictures. Well, I really love Caitlin Moran, and I also really like Meg Wolitzer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a good choice.
Really nice. If they were my mothers, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. that would
be such a good writer, because they're both so talented.
I know. I absolutely loved Caitlin Moran's feminist book. What was it called? How to Be a Woman. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And all her old stuff. Very good.
Yeah, She has a TV show now, Raised by Wolves, on Channel 4.
She does, yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's really quite funny.
Right, cool. Yeah, no.
It's quite unusual.
So. Yes. I can imagine it's based on her childhood, isn't it? So, and that was quite, you know, drama-filled,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
awesome.
Very funny.
Well, it has been a real pleasure chatting to you, Harper. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Pleasure.
Yeah, and
definitely.
And have a great rest of the evening, because it is the evening in Hong Kong now, isn't it?
Yes, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones. I've been waiting all day.
All right. Well, enjoy that. And, yeah, thank you very much. You've been a real pleasure.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you very much.
Take
for,
care.
For having me on.
No worries.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club, so this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to find out more about Harper Bliss and her writing, check out www.harperbliss.com or at Harper Bliss on Twitter. And if you fancy dipping into any of my books, London Calling or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes or any other digital outlet. And I'm also on Twitter at Claire Lydon. Join me next time for more hot book club action. See you then.